It is June 23rd already. That is amazing. June 23rd, Sunday morning, day after our second day of serious storms, but we have been on the edge. I got a recliner out in the garage, an old beat up thing. I got out in the garage, so I was able to put it in the driveway and sit there and just watch the storm go overhead, but not until it rained, then I got in. But North Dakota, nice cool morning. I don't know what the temperature is, but it's not bad. But we just took a bath. Boy, that rain was blowing in sideways and tons of it. That was so good. They got 3 inches, I think, the other day just south of us. And they also got baseball-sized hail. My brother had 100-mile-an-hour winds. But you folks that are from the hurricane country, that's nothing. I can't imagine. Will they blow the crocodiles and alligators up into your yards and the snakes come up onto your deck like at Sam's? Nah, this North Dakota life, South Dakota, the Dakotas. Very simple life. Okay, so here we are. We are doing Life Issue, and we are, I got to look it up. Somebody wrote something. Yeah, whales, okay. Oh, we lost one of them already. Well, Farmer Boy, stay in there, hang in there with us here. We're just friendly little folks. And we're looking at the flesh today. We're going to look at the flesh. This is an issue because nobody knows anything about this flesh thing. They just think they are who they are and their body is their body and God loves them and God approves of everything now because they're such strong Christians. We're nowhere in history has anybody ever been able to walk the walk except God Himself as He manifests Himself in the flesh to get down here and walk the walk. And it took Him... look at all the stuff that he went through. And that's why you still read and study the Gospels. That's why you still read the Old Testament. You read Hebrews to Jude to find out what it's going to be like in the tribulation. And it's going to be about the walk. But we also realize that during Acts chapter 2, you know the story, they will have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. So they can actually walk the walk. We can't do that. And we got these conceited Christians because they don't rightly divide and we don't understand that Israel's off to the side and the Gentiles part of that, the whole mystery thing that Paul is here to tell us about. And one of the things we learn about is in Colossians, and we'll start with that this morning, then we'll review a little bit. What we talked about, well, first of all, what we have to understand is we have to understand spiritual circumcision, as we call it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom, referring to Christ, of course, also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. See, the ones the doctors do is made with hands. The ones the Jews did was made with hands. This is one made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ cuts away our flesh. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also... For also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So, to understand that, when it's not a complicated thing, it's an amazing thing to understand. It's a spiritual understanding that if it wasn't for this Bible that teaches us that, it isn't something man would come up with, you know. And so you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. Because now, see, we've got our flesh circumcised, but not physically through that stuff. We are quickened. Paul talks about being quickened. So, anyway, understanding that, we can read through these verses on flesh and see that we really are cut away from our flesh. And for those of us, which I know everybody is into this, including Paul, because in Romans chapter 7, I mean, he's just not happy with himself. He says he wishes he could just leave this wretched body. Oh, wretched man that I am. And this is Paul. You would think, here's the worst guy in the world. He gets saved according to the way Christ wanted him at the beginning of Acts chapter 9. Most would think that, well, then Paul must have walked that perfect life. No, Paul didn't walk the perfect life. He says, it was not me that did it, though. It was the sin that dwelleth in me. For in my flesh there is no good thing. So there's a separation from our flesh and from who we are. Our soul. Fantastic stuff. We did it on Wednesday. I had a good crowd Wednesday night, by the way. That was exciting to see our little crowd on Wednesday grow a little bit. I miss some of our folks. I miss Dan, you know, and everybody that's the Floyds and everybody. I know everybody's just getting caught up in this world. We just do. It's just tough to get into this thing. But I do know people still listen to this stuff on their own time later. So that keeps me going on that as well. So knowing this about our flesh, instead of getting depressed and frustrated and angered and I think I said depressed already, we just have to realize our flesh is what our flesh is, and we are not part of it. Well, Romans chapter 6, if it's read correctly, it tells us that we choose to follow what our flesh does. But our flesh is still something we have to choose to follow. We're separated. We're just separated. And what we do in the flesh, as we can say, I suppose, what we do in our works, our day-to-day works, that still has to be judged in the judgment seat of Christ. Otherwise, what's the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ? So Christ isn't going to chastise us or rebuke us because what we are doing, our flesh is separated. It's a mess. It's a disaster. It's as bad as anybody's. It's just the way it is. And ourselves, we receive the righteousness of Christ applied to us. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 5, etc., etc. So, it's just a battle. Now, the hard part is Christ says all things are lawful. But then he says, but you know, there's five or six things here that kind of summarize things we ought not do still, and because it'll burn in the judgment seat of Christ. And those are the things that we all battle with. And we just do. But if we just realize anytime we fall, it's our flesh that fell. We chose to follow. So get up and keep going. That's got to be the most joyful, understandable thing to get out of being what a Christian really is, according to a King James Bible, rightly divided. Because otherwise, if you don't rightly divide and go to the Gospels, or if you go to the tribulation verses, yeah, God can kill your kids, burn your house down, take your job away from you, blah, blah, blah. Because of how you're living. But that's not how it goes. This is the dispensation of grace. Ephesians chapter 3, da, 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 da. You can't mix them, or you get mixed up yourself. Let's look quickly here. We looked at Wednesday night. For example, we see in Romans 2:28, we looked at where he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. We will see verses and verses and verses that talk about the flesh and us are separate. He mentions the phrase outward in the flesh. He says in Romans 3, no flesh be justified in his sight. That's the works, you know. He talks about us as we are men because of the infirmity of our flesh. It's our flesh that's a mess. Before we were saved, we were in the flesh, unspiritually circumcised, see? And Paul says in Romans 7, I know that in me that is in my flesh. He's making a point to separate our flesh and me. He says with our flesh, we serve the law of sin. That's the flesh thing. And then our mind wants to serve the law of God, so we study our Bible. But our flesh says, I'm not going to do that. Okay, so there's all sorts of things here that we covered. He says here in Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Because see, those people are still attached to their flesh, and what they do as a person still can't please God, not because it wasn't the right thing to do, but they're still attached to their flesh. They're not separated. Wild stuff. I mean, it really is wild stuff. And if you've never heard this before, let me check to see if Johnny Farmer's still there. Yeah, good. Farmer boy. This is crazy stuff. But if you believe your Bible, each word is the way it's supposed to be, there's no controversy over words or versions or whatever, then you got a King James Bible, because it's the only one that's been around for 400 plus years, and it said the same thing for all these years. I am going to, one of these days, I think I'm going to sit down and look at some of my favorite verses in an NIV and just see how they destroy these things. You know, and then you get any other Bible, you're not going to find this. So throw out the King James Bible, you throw out something as fascinating and spectacular as spiritual circumcision. Anyway, what else did we what else did we look at here? We looked at lost people are called the children of the flesh in Romans 9. We looked at the fact that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so Paul says anything that our flesh enjoys, music for example, then it's going to burn. Make not provision for the flesh. That's what we do. We know what our flesh issues are. Each one of us has different ones. The others are stronger for others. And don't go to Hebrews for that. We just know that different ones have different flesh challenges. And yet we make provision for them. So if you make provision for them, it's going to happen. Here's a waste of money. I bought a couple packages of hot dogs the other day because I'm just curious. I've had a hot dog for so long. I just like to have a hot dog. You know, I know they're garbage, and they're garbage scooped up from the bottom of the barns and all that stuff, and they squeeze them into hot dogs. Thought I'd try it, but I bought two packages because they looked really good. I finally threw them out the other day thinking, I don't need these in the refrigerator, so there was a waste of money. I know, those of you that help financially, I waste sometimes. I apologize for that. But that's about making provision for the flesh when I brought those stupid things home. There's my confession. What are yours? Anyway. Let's see here. He talks about fleshly wisdom. That's education being such a disaster that it is. Our life, the life also of Jesus, meaning the life of the resurrected Christ, you know, his life, is supposed to be manifest in our mortal flesh. So we still are supposed to do things that would be the right things. Paul mentions the Corinthians how their flesh had no rest. Isn't that us today? You watch the news and you see the decisions that are being made. You see the spying that's going on. We all knew that was going on. Now we see it in the main media and people still don't care. It's amazing. So anyway, our flesh has no rest. And it's our desire to have our flesh rest. Well, to be honest with you, I can't get any jobs here, so I just sometimes I'll go off to this little river spot here. It's a global important bird sanctuary. We can fish in one of these little spots, and I'm doing it to get my flesh. My flesh is getting some rest. But then again, the mosquitoes are coming around, so they mess with my flesh. They spoil my flesh. We can't have a life where our flesh gets rested anymore, can we? It's so tough. Mark, when you do your walks and your races and things, you battle that flesh all the time, I would think. I would, you know. And yet, 2 Corinthians says that, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And yet, we sometimes make that our war. And we know in Ephesians 6 here, let's see what that says here. We know in Ephesians 6, that isn't our war. For we wrestle, where does that go here? For we wrestle, let's see here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's the world that's out there. And yet, we wrestle against our own flesh. But the real battle is principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah, that's what we're really after. Devil knows if he can keep me fat that slows me down at this age. So he manages to throw stuff like that. I just have enough control sometimes to say, you know what, I don't have the money, I don't have the diet, but I do and I do and I do. And I, yeah, it's a battle. Like I said, there's my confession of the day. And Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It's a physical problem, which we all believe, I think, anyway, that it would be his eyesight. Because I know people say, oh, that's dumb. Well, there's only one clue of it. That's where people offer to give him. He would have given him their eyes if he could have. Why would he need somebody else's eyes if his eyes were fine? Whatever. And then in Galatians it says, the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning we're in our bodies, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And everybody's out there preaching and teaching to build up your faith. Your faith, it's your faith, it's your faith. Well, sure, our faith can get stronger, but I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. He's the one that keeps me going. Here's our battle that causes depression again. Are ye so foolish? Have it begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? You know, we get saved, we understand this stuff, and then we struggle all day long to make our lives complete, finished, you know, perfect, and by the flesh. And so then we get depressed because we can't. Well, just remember, Paul couldn't either. And then this is a good one for me, where Paul says in Galatians 4:13, ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. So Paul, didn't always want to preach. I mean, that's the flesh, you know? Okay, so that was a review from Wednesday night. It's online. The notes are not there yet because I'm still... Remember I told you last week or the last couple of weeks I'm finding some sermons and notes that I've done that are so deep into the website, nobody will find them again. And so this is something I typed up while I was in Ohio. I had time to do that, and I wasn't totally bean wacky yet. And I've got a complete Paul's manner of life of all the scriptures, or most many scriptures anyway, that deals with our walk, with Paul's manner of life. Not just the do's and don'ts. Don't get that caught into it. But I'm retyping this thing, and I'm adding more of the scriptures, and as I do this, I guess I've learned over the years, since Ohio even, some more verses to slip in here. So by the time this thing is done, this will probably be a book, an online book, Paul's Manner of Life, complete list from the King James Bible. I'm sure I'm going to miss stuff, but I don't know. It's just been good review for me to go through this. I'll be putting that up as it goes this week, and I will get the flesh verses up today or tomorrow. So let's start the new one for today. What time we got? I forgot to start my timer again. Oh, well. We'll just shoot for... Anyway, here we go. Let's go to Galatians 4:14. And let's look at... What we're going to notice here, again, is the separational comments about the flesh and our soul. The differences. We're separated from it. And yet, these are a lot of verses that talk about the flesh. And Paul says, in my temptation... You know, Paul had his problems, right? And he says here, my temptation, which was in my flesh, he just reminds us that's what it was, ye despise not, nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So, what he's saying here, which I know we don't have to explain this, I'm going to anyway, that these people understood that Paul had his problems too. He was tempted and it was in his flesh. But they didn't hold that against him. He despised not, nor rejected. They still looked to Paul as he was an angel of God, even like he was Jesus himself, without going into the false worship baloney. I mean, they just trusted the guy. And that's really tough for us. You know, there's enough people that were in the pulpit that are no longer in the pulpit because of adultery or drinking or even murder, even some really rotten things out there. Now, if they were truly saved, and I'm not one to make that decision, Paul reminds us that, then that was their flesh. And their flesh got them in trouble. And the people are, and I've seen this for years, even before I understood this stuff, that the people that need the brethren the most are the ones that crash. And I've also realized that the brethren are some of the quickest people to dump those people that crash. That's just what I've recognized. And here Paul is saying, listen, my temptation, which is in my flesh, I was tempted, But you folks, you still did not despise me. You did not reject me, but received me. And Paul said, it wasn't me that did it. And this is such an excuse, but it is. It wasn't me that did it. I chose to follow my flesh. So it was my flesh, it was a sin that was in me. It wasn't me. And yet he warned us about making those choices. Well, I tell you, if a Christian could get a hold of that, our awareness of the people around us, if someone who says they're a Christian, and I don't mean just say they're a Christian, we understand that they're getting their salvation based on a King James Bible, right and divided, looking to Paul, because we mark those people. And that's what it should be. Is Farmer John still there with us? Let's check. I'm curious here. Hey, good boy, farmer boy, sorry. And so... come on now, get your mind back into this thing. I shouldn't have been distracted by that. And so these people, when they mess up, I lost it. Are the brethren should be there. Now it does say in Thessalonians that if these brothers continue to disrupt and they walk the wrong walk, etc., and they cause trouble, blah 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 blah, then we're to withdraw from them. There's no doubt that should take place, but. They may, in the right kind of circumstances, of course, with wisdom here, you might be the one person they really need. Yeah, but they're an alcoholic, or they're messing around with this, they're messing around with that. Who is he to tell me what to do in my Bible? For years, I would teach about parenting as a father, about what I did wrong. So I was telling them, well, who are you to tell me you didn't do it right? Yeah, well, who does it right, for one thing? And two, aren't you willing to learn from my mistakes? That was my whole point. And no, they thought I was just picking on them. Well, I'll tell you what, their mistakes that they didn't have to make, because they could have heard about mine, they wouldn't be in the messes they're in today with their kids. So, anyway, my temptation, which is in my flesh, ye despise not, nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Boy, I tell you, if we could just remember, this is what it was, if we could remember those people that are around us that are not Christians, even though many say they are, but they're caught up in this other stuff, we can obviously see that they're following their flesh. Modern Christians, with their modern gospel rock and all this stuff, all this, even the hillbilly stuff has got beat and it's got the flesh, we know that they're just following their flesh. And if they do some good stuff, which they do, nice people, it doesn't please God. So we have to be careful, which is tough, how we support what they do, how we go, well, yeah, that was marvelous. Oh, yeah, God loves you. Well, sorry, but you're stuck in your flesh. You can't. That didn't please God. Then you got the big arguments. And we'll talk about that in a couple minutes here. Should get to that today. Should we in Galatians? We might not. Tonight, anyway. Oh, it's coming up here. So, you know, not looking at people judgmentally, just looking at people with an understanding. If some of the brethren, who are truly brethren, do something they shouldn't have done, it's in their flesh. It was their flesh that sinned in them that did it anyway. So, man, back off from the poor guy, poor lady, whatever. If it's a lost person, they're just stuck in their flesh. They're just following their flesh. And we'll read about the flesh in Galatians in a minute here. And if somebody who says they're a Christian and gets into this stuff, we know that they are still either attached to their flesh, or if they truly are brethren, they're following their flesh. There's a separation. There's a difference. What an awareness to have as you go day to day in this world, you know. It helps you, here's a thought, it helps you realize what religion is for people. Helps us realize what goes on in their churches. You know, they're doing this, they're studying that, and they really have no clue. They're not teaching the Paul's ways in every church, like he says about Timothy. And they're just following their flesh, or they're attached to their flesh. And religion gets people to do good things. And I'll tell you, when you sit around a town of older people, and you hear them talk about aunt somebody who passed away, but now she's up in the great nursery and stuff, it's like, gosh, that's really sad. I mean, really sad. And you sit there and you say to yourself, man, hell can't be real. It must not be. That was a nice person. Well, yes, it is. And they were a nice person, but they couldn't please God because they're still attached to their flesh. But if they were separated from their flesh because they were truly a Christian, then they just made it by the hair of their teeth based on their testimony. Or, you know, I mean, all sorts of things that go through your mind. Being judgmental? No. Just trying to understand people and what's going on with religion and good works and Catholic communities and all the abortion battles and all the battle for the Ten Commandments. Why are you battling for the Ten Commandments? Because it's only nine we're supposed to follow anyway, according to Paul. Why join hands with the Catholics and the Lutherans and all these people for all these kind of battles that are not the real war? It just helps you decide what you should or should not be doing, but it doesn't help you explain it to people, because as soon as somebody says, I thought you were a Christian when you did that, well, I was just following my flesh. It's the sin that was in me that did it. I really didn't do it. You got yourself mocking, and exactly what Paul says will take place. Amazing, huh? See, if we're in a little building right now, I'd be watching the heads going, yeah, it's just amazing stuff, you know. So let's go on here. Let's go Galatians 5. Let's go to Galatians 5. Yeah, we'll get to it right away here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians is right after Corinthians 1 and 2. Galatians 5. Boy, I tell you, these pages are just like turning air. Galatians 5:13. Here we go. Now we have a liberty. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, because all things are lawful. Corinthians tells us that. And we understand the flesh being cut away, etc., etc. So, yeah. Only, use not liberty, here it is, for an occasion to the flesh. There it is again. So, yes, we have the liberty. Yes, all things are lawful. But one of the strings attached, as far as testimony goes and the judgment seat of Christ, you know, if you do it because it pleases your flesh, then it's still just going to burn, you know. That's what he says. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And I'm sure we have. I'm sure I have. I don't know about you folks out there. You're probably such good people that you would put Paul to shame with your manner of life. But you do it for the flesh. Well, is John Philip Sousa music for the flesh? No. It's good for the flesh. It's a clean music. It's just like a good meal. You still got to feed your flesh. Do you feed it with a salad, or do you feed, like, I've had salads now, I'm trying to do the salad thing. But boy, eating a salad without dressing is like a bunny rabbit chomping down my garden out there. So that kind of defeats that purpose. I had some sardines last night. That's fish, oil, that's good for me. You know, but the can of olives I ate afterwards was not good for me. You know, it's an occasion for the flesh. Boy, it tasted good. I'm a stress eater, confession number two, and I eat at night when I'm studying or reading or whatever, confession number three. That's an occasion for the flesh. And it's wrong. There you go. I'm just full of confessions this morning. I feel Catholic-y. So for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love, what a strange other half. But by love, serve one another. Well, instead of using an occasion for the flesh, do something for the brethren somewhere. That's where I can throw my email. I'm so far behind with emails already. I used to get into the email thing all the time, and then I just realized I was addicted to email. But I want people to write to me. I still miss the brethren. I still like to talk to people. Well, like Sam said one time, you know, they're not going to write to you if you don't write them back. Yeah, I know. You know, I don't. So, there you go. For an occasion for the... No. Use not liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but use that liberty to love and serve one another. Okay. Galatians 5, same chapter, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, here's a major difference again between modern today Christians, as they're so called in their churches, religion stuff, with no Bible background, King James Bible background, compared to this King James guys, which I believe most, a lot of the King James guys are just going down the tubes because they're following a person instead of the book. And I've been there, done that, so I know what I'm talking about. So when it says here, walk in the Spirit, is that walking by feelings? Because this is what they say. God will just show me if I'm doing the right thing or not. He will chastise me if it's wrong, and He'll bless me if it's right. We've been over this 1,000 times. And when he says here, walk in the Spirit, what does that mean today? Very simply means you walk according to your Bible. Because that's where we know that the Spirit of God still teaches us and knows the intents of our hearts because of the book, because these are His words. These are the Scriptures. Always have been, always will be. So if you want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, you got to stay in your Bible. I don't mean reading, Proverbs or Chronicles. Or so. I mean, you read that stuff, no doubt, because you learn about God, etc., etc. And it's interesting to study Revelation. Everybody's got their 2 cents in Revelation and 1 John and understand what that stuff, that isn't for today, but it's understandable to learn in Hebrews. But to get into Paul's books, man, it's not even that many pages, really. But that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Take that page up I'm going to have up on the website here pretty soon, this complete list of the manner of life, and look at that thing. And there's how we walk in the Spirit. And if we were to stick to that stuff just stick to it, you know. And not get depressed when we can't do it, but just keep going. You won't fulfill the lust of your flesh. doesn't sound very practical. I suppose I could have gotten out my Bible, worked on sermons last night instead of eating that can of olives. Well, my intent was only to have a couple olives, black olives. I don't like the green ones. They're awful. But man, it didn't take long and that black can of olives was gone. And I even had my notes. I was going to work on my notes for this morning. That's the battle we have. Isn't that just an amazing thing that we all go through? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just the one confessing this morning. You know. But that's what this is all about. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in a rightly divided Bible by looking to Paul. Here, for example, I have to throw this in those notes too. Let's go to Philippians. You probably already know this. I'm sure you do. But for visitors or newbies sometime, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, who's me? Paul, because he's following the risen Savior. And the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. So we turn to Paul's stuff. To walk in the Spirit, you walk in Paul's manner of life. You follow Paul. And if you do, you'll stay away from the lust of the flesh. Most of the time. He says in 17, for the flesh, there's that preposition again, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Well, we know that. And the Spirit against the flesh, that's why people hate reading the King James Bible. And these are contrary, the one to another, to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Right. Which takes me back to Romans chapter 7, where Paul says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present within me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Oh, wretched man that I am. You know, he just wants out. And yet the people didn't reject him because of that stuff. And we can learn from Paul because we have the book. We have the stuff that Paul was taught. And we have the same battle. We cannot do the things that we know we should be doing because we're lusting against the book and the book is fighting our flesh. That's the Spirit of God working in us. That's the Spirit of God telling us something through our reading. And how do you know that? Well, stay away from your book long enough and the things that you know were wrong at one time won't be. You will be listening to the wrong music. You will be watching the wrong movies. You will be drinking again. You will be carousing again. You will be doing that stuff because you gave up on the Spirit. Well, the Spirit of God is in me. Of course He is. But He speaks to us through the book, not through our hearts and through our thoughts. Unless you got that book memorized, which not a lot of people do, you know. But then here's Jack Van Wimpy and his wife, Texella there, who memorized the entire New Testament, and he still talks like a Catholic. He still supports the Catholic Church. Now, how in the world did that happen? He read his Bible. He memorized it. Why doesn't he get it? Well, he's probably still attached to his flesh. And he won't get it. Anyway. Let's do one more here. Galatians 5:19. Now this is an interesting one. Galatians 5:19. Okay. We see here, it says here, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Okay, which are these? Then he goes on and he lists the things that this is your flesh. This is what your flesh will do. This is what is still in us. Well, not me. I'm not into adultery or fornication. Well, let's just keep going here. Adultery. Fornication, uncleanness. Remember the dirty life your mom always used to? That's a dirty thing. We don't do that because that's a dirty thing. We don't talk dirty. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's a beyond normal sex aspect of life. Well, we don't do any of those stuff. Well, here, let's look at idolatry. Witchcraft, which we know, Samuel says, witchcraft, rebellion is just like witchcraft. Hatred. Oops. Hatred. Uh-oh. Maybe I still follow my flesh. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. temper, strife, seditions, heresies. I don't know what those all mean, so we'll go on. Envyings, oh, come on now. Murders, drunkenness, alcohol, or eating, or, you know, whatever. Revelings. Okay, so before we deal with that, let's look up a couple of these. That's just kind of interesting. Variance. Okay, so as a flesh, it says here, differences that produce dispute or controversy. Disagreement, dissension, or discord. Troublemaker. The devil's advocate kind of a thing, you know. Nah, we shouldn't be doing that. Well, what about all these things about what we believe? Can we not teach people these things? Because it'll cause dissension and disagreement. Yeah, but you're not going out there to stick it in their face and offend them and make them mad and tell them that you're bad. That's that modern Christian. You know what this is? This is most of the street preachers right here.